From the Holy Gospel according to St. John. A week after the resurrection of Jesus, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." The words of the Holy Gospel. One reason that St. John the Evangelist mentions that this episode occurs a week after the resurrection is to communicate that even though our Lord had appeared frequently to his disciples in this time period, in the intervening days, that he did not remain with them continually, since he had not arisen to the same kind of life, the same manner of existence. Another reason is so that St. Thomas, forever dubbed the doubter because of this episode, would develop a stronger desire and become more disposed to believe. And in this passage, Thomas is the only one who needs to see Jesus. The others have already seen him risen. But the Lord, nevertheless, appears to the whole group because he wants to demonstrate that God doesn't want to exist in isolation. And he doesn't want us to exist in isolation, but instead to live in a unity of charity with others. He comes to this group of his disciples and wishes them peace. It's the first thing he says, "Peace be with you." To wish them peace in the assurance that they have been reconciled to God, as St. Paul says, describes it, making peace through the blood of his cross. And it's in this context that St. John the Evangelist wants to show how the doubting Thomas was both persuaded and rescued, how the reconciliation offered to all was manifested in particular to him, configured to his own unique needs. This is a sign of God's endless pity, that he quickly comes to our help, even when we fall, but that he's never far behind to pick us up, to dust us off, to tell us that it's okay, to reconcile us to himself. And this is what he does for Thomas, rescues him by showing his wounds. St. Thomas, the doubting apostle, had previously laid down his conditions for believing, that he must see and feel Christ's wounds. And if these conditions were met, he promised that he would believe. So the Lord rescues him by meeting these conditions. The Greek fathers had a word for this. They called it sum katabasis, which the Latins translate as condescension, but not in the sense that we call people condescending. It's in the sense that he descends down with us, descends con with us, stoops down to our need, shapes his offer of grace, his rescuing, according to our particular and individual needs and circumstances. He comes to us in a way that we're able to receive. After he does this for Thomas, after he rescues him and meets the conditions for his belief, he asks Thomas to keep his promise. Do not be unbelieving, but believe, as you said you would. And Thomas complies by putting his finger into the side. He admits his own foolishness, swallows his pride, and he accepts the fact that the Lord had to stoop real low to save him. Another Thomas, Aquinas, sees a lesson here, that in the sweetness of the Lord's heart, he stoops down to our level to make it possible for us to believe something that we can't see, something that by our nature we're not made to know unless it's brought to us from on high. But for those of us who refuse to believe, who won't take him at his word, won't accept his goodness, he allows their unbelief to convict them. So at our particular judgment, we'll either receive what St. Thomas the Apostle received, namely, come and put your finger into my side as a reward for your belief, or not. Instead, it might be, look at the side you have pierced. It was opened for your sake, St. Augustine says, but you refused to enter. And if we accept in all humility that Jesus will save us from everything, then we will be able to put our finger into his side. But if we hold on to our pride, blaming ourselves for not being able to save ourselves, that's refusing to enter the side that was pierced so that we could go into it. The only unforgivable sin, what the Lord calls elsewhere blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, is a complete despair. A complete despair that is hidden by the pride of our self-reliance. That we can't even, sort of thinking that we can't even be saved from our own worst sins. Or even be saved from the most mundane, yet inescapably repeated sins. This despair can't be forgiven because it is itself a refusal to accept forgiveness, a refusal to accept that the Lord is stooping down to us, a refusal to accept that he really is that good, refusal to admit our foolishness in putting conditions on his mercy, like Thomas the doubter, and so refusing to enter into the open side which was pierced so that we could be saved. Instead, may we meet the Lord's goodness with humility, declaring with an ancient Cistercian poem that I have found him whom my soul loves. I grasp him. I will not let him go. I embrace you, my Jesus, and experience the joy of my love, the joy in admitting my foolishness, the joy in accepting that you meet me even at my lowest. I encompass you, the treasure of my heart, from whom I have all that is mine.